Sir Humphrey is waiting to see you, Prime Minister.
Thank you, Bradley. Sure, sure.
Yes, Prime Minister.
Prime Minister.
Ah, Humphrey, good morning.
How's the jet lag?
I love jet lag, sir.
No, I find jet lag affects me more going the other way.
Mm.
I felt frightfully tired at my big meeting at the White House. Scarcely remember a thing he said.
He didn't really say much, Prime Minister.
No,
he was frightfully tired, too.
Worrying, isn't it? Statesmen such as myself, jetting all over the world, attending major conferences which could affect the future of mankind, and we're zonked.
Well, it would be, Prime Minister. Perhaps that's why such negotiations are nearly always completed in advance by humble servants such as I. They can hardly be left in the hands of the zonked. Now, what did you want to see me about?
Prime Minister. Prime Minister.
Oh, Humphrey. Good morning.
You want to see me?
Goodbye.
Don't you know what it was about?
No, he fell asleep before he told me.
Well, I'll be back if I'm needed. Bernard, I'd like a word when you're free.
Oh, Bernard. remind me to see Humphrey. something. Well, I suppose now I'm back, I've got a busy week ahead. Huge backlog of work.
Not really, Prime Minister.
No backlog?
Nothing at all, Prime Minister. You see, you have much less to do now that you're Prime Minister. You no longer have a department of your own.
But you can't be serious.
Oh, yes. Everything you've always read in the paper about how hard the Prime Minister has to work is a bit of a myth, really. It's put out by the press office as a matter of course. But if you think about it, what do you have to do?
Chair the Cabinet?
2.5 hours a week.
Chair a couple of Cabinet committees?
4 hours.
Answer questions in the House twice a week?
Another half an hour.
Audience
with the Queen on Tuesday evenings?
Another hour.
Seven and a half hours a week so far.
Ridiculous, Bernard. There must be more to it than that.
Well, of course, you'll have to read all the briefs and we'll rush you from place to place shaking hands with people. But other than that, well, there's lots of things people want you to do and lots of things you should do and any number of things you can do, but very few things you have to do. After all, it's up to you. You're the boss.
Thank you, Bernard. I'll bear that in mind. Meantime, let's have the press secretary in. We've got to discuss my first TV broadcast as Prime Minister.
Send Malcolm Warren up here straight away, please.
I'm certainly busy enough on my American trip. I think that was a great success.
Was it?
Of course it was, Bernard. Haven't you read Malcolm's report? I was on all the news bulletins, 3 nights running. Special feature on Panorama. 1,269 column inches in the Nationals. 31 photos, 16 radio reports.
No, I mean, was it a success in terms of what it achieved?
Well, just told you.
No, I mean, what about agreements with the Americans and so on? You know, your private conversation with the president. You didn't tell me the result.
Oh, well, yes. To begin with, I read him my brief, and he read me his brief, and then we decided it'd be quicker if we just swapped briefs and read them to ourselves. So we spent most of the time rubbishing the French.
Good. Yes. Oh, thanks. Malcolm Warren is on his way up, Prime Minister.
Bernard. How's the Prime Minister and First Lord of the Treasury?
Sleeping peacefully, sir.
Bernard, we have a problem.
Who has?
You and I, Bernard, and the whole of Whitehall. The problem is the Prime Minister's disastrous new defence ideas. Cancelling Trident, reintroducing conscription, and all that rubbish.
The grand design.
Yes, I believe that's what he calls it.
But if it saves money and reduces unemployment...
Bernard, what is the purpose of our defence policy?
To defend Britain.
No, Bernard. Is to make people believe Britain is defended.
The Russians.
Not the Russians, the British. The Russians know it's not. It's for all our simple, ignorant people shuffling in and out of houses, buses, factories and the cabinet room. The aim of the defence policy is to make them feel secure.
But if there's a better way...
Bernard, we have a magic wand. It is called Trident. Nobody understands anything about it, except that it will cost £15 billion, which means it must be wonderful. All we have to do is write a check, and then we can all relax. But if people in government start talking about it, you know what will happen?
Huh?
In the end, they'll start thinking about it. They will come to realize the problems, the flaws in the reasoning. The nation will get worried. Agitation, questions, criticism. Change.
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 Yes, Harvey, there is one thing, though.
Mm.
This TV broadcast he's doing, suppose he uses it to announce his new policy.
He can't. First, it'll have to go through Cabinet and the House.
Well, you can do that, in terms of opening the national debate.
Bernard, you do not open a national debate until the government has privately made up its mind.
But if the Prime Minister's made up his mind...
Then he must unmake it.
But he's the Prime Minister.
Yes, indeed he is, Bernard. He has his own car, nice house in London, place in the country, endless publicity, and a pension for life. What more does he want?
I think he wants to govern Britain.
Well, stop him, Bernard.
The question is, should it be an interview or to camera?
Yes.
No, Prime Minister, I think it has to be one or the other.
Well, what about an interview? Bernard, we're just discussing a TV interview.
Oh, right. Robin Day, Brian Walden, Terry Wogan... Jimmy Young?
Which do you think?
Well, it depends how you want to appear. The thinker, man of power, people's friend, or just a good fellow?
All of them, really.
I don't think they'll all interview you at the same time.
No, not all of them, all of me. I want to be seen to have all those qualities.
Ah, well, in that case, I think you should do it to camera.
Yes, at least it'll be me in charge and not all those failed MPs and jumped-up disc jockeys.
Fine. A party political?
Yeah, now, a party political spells instant boredom. I think it should be a ministerial broadcast, you know, the Prime Minister addressing his people. But I'll do it into the camera like a party political.
I thought you said they were boring.
I didn't say I'd be boring, Bernard. Do you think I'd be boring?
Boring? You?
Have you done much talking to Cameron?
You know, it's mostly been interviews and things.
Ah, well, in that case, I'd better set up a practice session.
Fine.
Just one thing. What is the broadcast to be about?
About?
Yes, about. What will it be about?
About me.
Yes, but what are you going to say?
Say?
Yes, about policies.
Oh. Policies? Yeah, well, I thought it'd be the usual thing, you know. Go forward together, better tomorrow, tighten your belt, all pulled together, heal the wounds, that sort of thing.
Yes, but what will you be saying specifically?
Oh, specifically? Well, I thought I'd suggest that we all specifically tighten our belts. Specifically heal the specific wounds in society. See what I mean?
Yes, well, of course, it's entirely up to you, Prime Minister. I just thought if you had anything new to say.
Oh. New. Oh, new? Yes, of course. Get Humphrey back here, will you? My grand design. That's what I wanted to talk to Humphrey about.
Ah, Sir Humphrey, the Prime Minister is making arrangements for his TV broadcast. He wants to talk about his grand design and wonders if you... I think he's on his way.
Grand design, Prime Minister.
Yes, I can't tell you now, but it's a very big story.
Right, Prime Minister. I'll find a producer and set up a practice session in the meantime.
I gather you want to discuss a television appearance.
Yes, but not so desperately urgent.
No, absolutely not. Not remotely important.
Not remotely important. My first television broadcast as Prime Minister.
Terribly important, of course, but not a crisis, not right. A panic.
I do want to use it to announce my new defence policy. What do you think?
No. I think it's a mistake.
The policy?
Well, of course, it's tremendously refreshing to have a new mind on the problem. Challenging the old ideas, questioning the whole basis of government thinking over the past 30 years.
You don't approve of the policy?
No, it's not that, Prime Minister. There will be implications, reverberations, repercussions. It needs time to sift and weigh the evidence, review, research, consult.
Well, all right. You get on with that, Humphrey. In the meantime, I'll announce it in the broadcast.
You can't. Not yet. Well, we have to tell the Americans. They will have grave objections. It will take many months of patient diplomacy. Delicate issues need sensitive handling.
Humphrey, who is it who has the last word about the government of Britain? The British cabinet or the American president?
Do you know, that's a fascinating question. We often discuss it. What conclusion have you arrived at?
Well, I must admit to being a bit of a heretic. I think it's the British cabinet, but I know I'm in the minority.
Well, I've news for you, Humphrey. From now on, you're in the majority. I shall raise my grand design formally with the Overseas Policy and Defence Committee, and then I shall put it to cabinet. I've sounded most of them out privately. They all think it's a vote winner. I mean, a major contribution to the defence of this country. Then I shall put it to the House in the afternoon and announce it in the evening in my book.
I'm sorry, Prime Minister, you can't announce it yet.
Well, if I can't, who can? Let us be abundantly clear about this. We cannot go on paying ourselves more than we earn. The rest of the world does not owe us a living. We must be prepared to make sacrifices. And who wrote this rubbish?
You did, Prime Minister. It's one of your old speeches.
Well, can't we have something new? What about a draft of the actual broadcast?
It's still only a draft, isn't it?
Well, this is only a practice.
Well, it's still highly confidential.
Everyone here has been cleared. Go on, Bernard.
Yes, Prime Minister.
How was that, Godfrey?
Excellent, Prime Minister. Just one thing. Will you be wearing those glasses?
Oh, well, what do you think?
Well, it's up to you, obviously. With them on, you look authoritative and commanding. With them off, you look honest and open. Which do you want?
Well, really, I want to look authoritative and honest.
It's one or the other, really.
What about starting with them off and then putting them on when I do?
That just looks indecisive.
Oh, I see.
What about a monocle?
Let's just leave them off for the moment, shall we?
Can we go again? Yeah. Have you got that new script there, Bernard?
Oh, yes, Prime Minister.
The Trident program is too expensive. By cancelling it, we shall release billions of pounds to fund an imaginative and radical attack on the nation's problems. What this country needs is a true...
Can we hold it?
What's wrong?
No, it's very good, Prime Minister.
Just a minute, Bernard, yes?
Do you mind not leaning forward like that? It makes you look as though you're selling insurance. And also it makes you look up at the lens like a sort of supplant. You should really be looking down from on high.
Yes, I mean. What this country needs... What this country needs...
Martha and I have drafted a slightly different version to this.
Right, let's see. We shall, of course, be reviewing a wide range of options over the whole field of government expenditure. Bernard, this doesn't say anything.
Oh, thank you, Prime Minister. Oh, you're too kind, Prime Minister.
No, but I don't like it.
All right, you could say urgently reviewing.
No.
Well, I do think it should be toned down a bit.
How? Any thoughts, Malcolm?
Well, what about the Trident programme is a heavy burden on your tax bill. £15 billion is a lot of money, and we should be looking at it very carefully to see if it merits the amount it costs.
Yes. Yes, all right. It's okay to mention figures, isn't it, Godfrey?
Yes. I mean, practically no one takes them in, and those who do don't believe them. But it makes people think you've got the facts at your fingertips. And don't forget, people don't know you're reading them off the teleprompter.
Apart from that, it was fine, wasn't it?
Yes, you were going a bit slowly.
Well, the teleprompter thing was going a bit slowly.
No. It follows your speed. Try going slow and then fast, OK?
Oh,
thank you.
The Trident programme is a heavy burden on your tax bill. £15 billion is a lot of money. And
Prime Minister, would you mind not saying your tax bill?
Oh, why not?
Well, it makes you sound as though you're not one of the people. You know, it's like the ruler talking to the ruled, okay. Them and us.
Well, what should I say?
Our tax bill? I mean, you pay taxes too.
Yes. Change that, would you, Bernard?
Yes, Prime Minister. I still think it's very direct.
Oh, good. Thank you, Bernard.
Lots of people's jobs in this country depend on Trident until there's been a consultation.
Yes, that's a thought. Malcolm?
Well, we could say defence expenditure is one of those areas which this government will be looking at closely to see if we can achieve the same level of defence at a lower cost.
That's too long. Can you make it two sentences?
No, why?
Well, Prime Minister, it's just that we find that if a sentence goes on over three lines, then by the time it gets to the end, most people have forgotten how it began. Including the person speaking.
Two sentences, Malcolm.
And you are beginning to lean forward again a bit.
But that's what I do when I want to look sincere.
Yes, but the trouble is, it makes you look like someone who wants to look sincere. If you lean back, you look relaxed and in control. That's it. Quite as far as that. That looks as though you've had a liquid lunch. You can always underline bits of the script where you want to look sincere, and then you just frown and say them a bit more slimly.
Anything else?
Well, your face is a bit wooden.
Only when you're speaking.
You see, in normal speech, you move your head and eyebrows and cheek muscles and so on. So don't let the teleprompter turn you into a zombie.
Okay. Thank you.
Defense expenditure. Turn of the air. This government will be examining it may be that we can achieve the same.
Prime Minister, that's just a little bit too.
Heard a lot of nonsense from the opposition. They say we waste money. They say we're selling out to the United States. I say, look at the mess they made when they were in power. Look at the damage they did to the economy.
Could we hold it that way? Prime Minister, if I might suggest, don't attack the opposition.
Oh, those are the bits the party likes.
Now, the party will vote for you anyway. You see, you'll make the vote see you as an angry and divisive figure.
What should I say about them?
Well, don't mention them at all. You see, everything you say has to make you sound warm and friendly. Authoritative, of course, but affectionate. The father of the nation. Could we just run forward to that new bit? Try lowering the pitch of your voice.
We want to build a bright future for our children. We want to build a peaceful and prosperous Britain. A Britain that can hold her head high in the Fellowship of Nations. This is rather good. Who wrote this?
Actually, it's from the last party political by the leader of the opposition. We must talk about your appearance, remember. What will you be wearing?
Now, what do you suggest?
Well, dark suit represents traditional values.
Fine, dark suit.
On the other hand, a light suit looks businesslike.
Well, what about the lightest jacket with the darkest waistcoat?
I think that would look as though you've got an identity problem.
Excuse me, Prime Minister. Godfrey, could we have a word about makeup?
Yes, ma'am.
Are you happy about the grey hair, or shall we darken it?
No, that's fine.
And the receding hairline?
Receding what?
High forehead. High forehead. And can we try to make the... do something about the eyes, make them look less close-set?
Sure. Bags underneath, mm-hmm. Nose is still a problem.
Problem?
No, just a lighting problem, Prime Minister. A very large, shadow.
Could you smile, Prime Minister?
Yes.
Prime Minister, how would you feel about a little dental work?
Look, can we get on with that? Okay, we're going again.
Right.
Super. And cue the Prime Minister.
We shall, of course, be reviewing a wide range of options over the whole field of government expenditure. Bernard, this is exactly what we started with.
Yes, I do think it's the most suitable, the most appropriate, Prime Minister.
What do you think, Godfrey?
Well, it's up to you, obviously, Prime Minister. All I can say is, if that's what you're going to say, I suggest a very modern suit, high-tech furniture, high-energy yellow wallpaper, abstract paintings, in fact, everything to disguise the absence of anything new in the actual speech.
I go back to my original dynamic speech, you know, about the grand design.
Fine, then it's the reassuring traditional background, a dark suit, oak panelling, leather volumes, 18th-century portraits. Oh, one other thing. Opening music. Now, once again, Bach, new ideas, Stravinsky, no change.
Well, I think I ought to have a British composer, you know, something that would reflect my image.
Elgar, perhaps?
Elgar? Yes, but not Land of Hope and Glory.
What about the Enigma variation? He's going to say something new and radical in the broadcast.
What, that silly grand design? Bernard, that was precisely what you had to avoid. How did this come about? I shall need a very good explanation.
Well, he's very keen on it.
What's that got to do with it? Things don't happen just because prime ministers are very keen on them. Neville Chamberlain was very keen on peace.
he thinks it's a vote winner.
Ah. That's more serious. Sit down. What makes him think that?
Well, the party have had an opinion poll done. It seems all the voters are in favour of bringing back national service.
Well, have another opinion poll done showing the voters are against bringing back national service.
We can't be for it,
and
against.
Of course they can, Bernard. Have you ever been surveyed?
Yes. Well, not me, actually. My house. Oh, I see what you mean.
Well, Bernard, you know what happens. Nice young lady comes up to you. Obviously, you want to create a good impression. You don't want to look a fool, do you?
No.
No. So she starts asking you some questions. Mr. Woolley, are you worried about the number of young people without jobs?
Yes.
Are you worried about the rise in crime among teenagers?
Yes.
Do you think there's a lack of discipline in our comprehensive schools?
Yes.
Do you think young people welcome some authority and leadership in their lives?
Yes.
Do you think they respond to a challenge?
Yes.
Would you be in favour of reintroducing national service?
Yes. Oh, well, I suppose I might.
Yes or no?
Yes.
Of course you would, Bernard. After all, you've told you can't say no to that. So, they don't mention the first five questions and they publish the last one.
Is that really what they do?
Well, not the reputable ones, no, but there aren't many of those. So, alternatively, the young lady can get the opposite result.
How?
Mr. Woolley, are you worried about the danger of war?
Yes.
Are you worried about the growth of armaments?
Yes.
Do you think there's a danger in giving young people guns and teaching them how to kill?
Yes.
Do you think it's wrong to force people to take up arms against their will?
Yes.
Would you oppose the reintroduction of national service?
Yes.
There you are, UT, Bernard. The perfect balanced sample. So, we just commission our own survey for the Ministry of Defence. See to it, Bernard.
Yes, but what about the broadcast?
When's he expecting to do it?
I don't know, sometime next month, I suppose.
Well, perhaps you'll tell him it'll be in 11 days' time.
11 days? That's a bit soon. Suppose he refuses.
Well, then you can tell him that we've just learned from the Joint Broadcasting Committee that the opposition will be holding a party political in 18 days' time, and he's entitled to get his ministerial in first, of course. If he wishes the first political broadcast of his premiership to be given by the opposition, that's fine.
Is that true?
It will be. If you don't mention it till tomorrow.
But he could still announce his new policy.
No, I don't think so, Bernard. He'll have only one meeting with his cabinet colleagues in the Overseas Policy and Defence Committee to clear it.
I understand all his cabinet colleagues are in favour of it.
Yes, but only personally, Bernard. Only politically. But are they in favour officially, as responsible departmental ministers?
Oh, I see. I suppose that will depend on the advice they get, will it?
And of course, David, there's no question of our opposing this scheme to cancel Trident.
Oh, of course.
No, it's just a question of holding back a little until we've thought through all the implications. Mm. So tell me, what are you going to brief your man at employment to say in OPD tomorrow?
Well, what are the others saying? I suppose Dick will brief the Foreign Secretary to say the Americans will hit the roof.
Well, no. He thinks it might be more persuasive to argue that cancelling Trident will look like weakness, appeasing the Soviets.
Yes, good thinking.
Just as Norman won't be telling his man of defence to say that the service chiefs won't have their elite forces diluted with riffraff.
But they won't.
No, I know that, but he thought they needed another argument.
Two arguments? Isn't that putting rather a strain on the Defence Secretary's somewhat
obsolete intellectual equipment? So he's just going to brief him that Trident is best and Britain must have the best.
Oh, good. Even the Defence Secretary should be able to handle that.
Yeah. And a bit of coaching, yes.
And Giles, I know the National Union of Teachers are scared stiff that conscription will expose the fact that school leavers, while of course being tremendously integrated socially and creatively aware,
can't actually read, write or do sums, yeah. But Giles has got the Education Secretary worried that the colleges for further education will be taken over by the services and actually used for teaching people.
You can't have that.
So what about your man at employment?
Well, it's the same problem. You see, the truth is the unions won't stand for kids coming in and undercutting them on community work.
Yes. I don't think we need to bring the truth in at this stage.
Hold on. Now, suppose he argues that unemployed young people are, at the moment, unfit, unorganised, undisciplined and untrained, but that conscription will eventually release onto the streets an army of fit young people all trained to kill.
Good man.
So, does he actually believe that?
He will, by tomorrow morning.
Good committee, Prime Minister.
Extraordinary.
How extraordinary?
Well, this time last week, all my cabinet colleagues were all for my grand design.
And now?
But now the Foreign Secretary says it would be appeasing the Soviets.
Oh, I hadn't thought of that.
The Defence Secretary says that Trident is best and Britain must have the best.
Does he really have fascinating?
The Education Secretary says that conscription would undermine the educational system.
Ah, that is a worry. And the Employment Secretary?
Well, he goes on about 1 million unemployed trained fighters being let loose on the streets.
Well, he has a point there.
I don't understand it.
Yeah.
I mean, last week they all thought my new defence policy was a winner. Can you explain it, Humphrey?
That's beyond me, Prime Minister. Yes, Prime Minister.
Sorry to interrupt, Prime Minister. The MOD said it was urgent.
What? It seems that 74% of the population are against conscription.
Good Lord!
And the party poll said that 63% of the population was for it.
You see, party figures can be very unreliable, Prime Minister.
Evidently.
May I suggest a compromise?
What?
Well, it's clear that the committee has agreed that your new policy is a really excellent plan, but in view of some of the doubts being expressed, may I propose that I recall that after careful consideration, the considered view of the committee was that while they considered that the proposal met with broad approval in principle, that some of the principles were sufficiently fundamental in principle, and some of the considerations so complex and finely balanced in practice, that in principle it was proposed that the sensible and prudent practice would be to submit the proposal for more detailed consideration, laying stress on the essential continuity of the new proposal with existing principles, and the principle of the principal arguments which the proposer proposes and propounds for their approval. In principle.
What?
Don't refer to your grand design in your television broadcast on Friday.
You're not suggesting I should abandon it.
Good heavens, no. Heaven forbid. It is a most excellent.
All right. Well, we'll look into it further before I say anything about it.
Oh, and Prime Minister, the TV people want a decision about the background scenery for the broadcast.
I suppose it better be the very modern suit with high-tech furniture. And the high-energy yellow bathrobe.
And abstract paintings.
I suppose so. And Stravinsky?
Yes, Prime Minister.